Inconceivable, a game of nerdery and nonsense, trivia and tribulations. Now let's join our panelists and your host, Dan Morin.
Hello and welcome to Inconceivable, a game that tests two teams' knowledge of the nerdy, useless, and obscure. To my right is Team 1, the Druid of Doggos, Micah Sargent.
Wow, I love it. That's me. That's fantastic. I'm writing that down right now.
You can have it. The Cleric of Classic Movies, Shelley Brisbane.
Thank you. I was going to complain about not getting a cat reference, but I'll take the classic movies.
And a regular guy of hats, Tony Sindelar.
It's me, a regular guy of hats, Tony Sindelar. Thank you for having me, Hello Nerds.
Who is captaining Team 1 on this occasion?
That would be the Druid of Doggos.
Oh, the Druid takes the
Bow
lead.
Bow wow.
All right, to my left is Team 2, the monk of the MCU, Kelly Gamont.
Howdy do, buckaroos. I have no idea how this is going to go. I guess we'll all find out together.
It's a game that we find out about together. The sorcerer of cereals, specifically Booberry, Chip Sutterth.
I have to confess, I'm starting to warm to Franken.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, jeez. All right, let me rewrite some stuff.
Because 2024 isn't weird enough.
Finally, the bard of business unicorning, Kathy Campbell.
It's me. I am not going to sing for you, though. You're welcome.
Okay. Well, Team 2 led by this week.
That's a me.
Kathy will Mario. Be the captain. As a reminder, correct answers are worth 10 points with partial credit decided by me and our scorekeeper, Jason. There are no fractional points.
Oh, recalibrating spreadsheets.
Wait, what class is Jason?
Jason is the
reference acknowledged.
Yeah, scorekeeper.
Scorekeeper of. Are there any other S classes? I'm blanking.
Consider me a 20-sided die.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. That's kind of more random than we're looking for at scorekeeping. We're looking for precision.
Nope.
But, okay. All right. Randomosity all right. It is.
Round one is a game we're calling typecasting. I'm going to give you three items, one at a time. I'm looking for the category they are all in. You get 10 points if you can guess that category on the first item. You get 7 points if you can get it on the second item, and 4 points if you get it on the third and final item. And 0 points if you do not get it. As an example.
Rude.
If I give you Victoria Frumpkin.
Frumpkin comes alive. Right.
Mark Okrand and J.R.R. Tolkien. Anybody got this
one? Dead people. Dead people.
Dead people is great. No.
Authors? Fantasy
they sound like,
work.
Yeah, they sound like book people.
Yeah.
What do they call those people that make books?
They're all creators of fictional languages. Mark Okrand created Klingon. J.R.R. Tolkien created Elvish and everything else. And Victoria Frumpkin created the language Paku from, I'm blanking on the
great
the
example,
titles.
Dan.
Yeah.
The example is
not
hard.
The Land Before Time, but the other thing that's about like the people who go into the
dinosaurs?
Planets.
She created dinosaurs?
I don't remember. It's a old TV show. It's an old TV show about like.
Land of the Lost?
Land of the Lost.
Land
Thank
Lost.
You.
There you go.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh.
Sure.
Anyways.
Okay.
That's why that one's the example, because I decided not to use it.
Are all of them dead, though?
I haven't talked to them all recently, so I can't
I
be
don't
sure.
think so.
How often
Mark
do you
Okrand's
talk to
still alive.
Or Tolkien? Okay.
Mark Okrand's still alive,
I commune with Tolkien all the time.
Wow.
All right.
Cool. That's how writing works.
Micah, okay. We're going to start with you.
Also, J.R.R. Tolkien didn't die. He just diminished and went into the West. Anyway, go
reference
ahead.
Acknowledge.
All right, reference acknowledged.
Very good, very good.
Micah, your first item is Niels, N-I-E-L-S.
Niels, N-I-E-L-S. Let me just write this down so I can stare at it for a moment. Right. Yeah, let's have the second. Wait, team, should I ask for the second word?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait.
If we guess, we get nothing? Or is it worth guessing?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
If we guess wrong.
I miss what the strategy.
Yeah,
strategy
you can
was.
Guess on any answer. If you get it wrong, I will give you the next one. But if you guess
Perfect.
Wrong at the end, you get nothing.
Got it.
Would it be worth guessing physicists?
I'm fine with that because I have no idea so far. So okay. Physicists?
I like that one.
That's a good guess. You're close. You're not quite there, though. Niels, add Albert.
Ah.
Oh, see? And physicists still would have worked.
Is this developer of physics theories, maybe?
Yeah, because it's Niels Bohr. And
Albert
then,
Einstein, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That Albert. Okay, yeah.
So
unless you're thinking Schweitzer, but I don't... Yeah.
Are they...
Developer of...
They're physicists, right? I think. Or they're scientists.
Did Niels make a formula at all?
I believe he had his model of the atom was a big deal, if I'm remembering my high school physics correctly.
So maybe like...
I think Dan specified that they're not physicists. Oh, no, wait. They are physicists, but that's not what he's looking for.
That was not the category. They might
be. It's relevant. It's relevant.
It's relevant.
But you need to you need to think beyond
that. He had to do with nuclear
maybe theory. All of them will come together to be able to make the atom bomb.
That's not good. That's like, that's bad.
He, I mean, Bohr did have to do with nuclear stuff of some kind, possibly.
I mean, would Oppenheimer be the next one then?
Let's do that as our second guess. Oh, shoot. I'm going to go with the... Does anyone have a reason why nuclear bomb would not be a good choice? Wait,
well, yes, many, many reasons.
The protesters are outside,
phrasing.
Micah.
Yeah. Micah, your foreign policy is, once again...
Related to atomic science?
Theorists
responsible for the creation of atomic science is my answer.
Again, you're inching very, very close. You're very close. I'm going to give you the last one. To Niels and Albert Ad Marie.
Okay.
So probably
all
Marie
different
Curie.
Nationalities, as far as I can tell. Because Bohr
Are they people that have an element named after them?
Oh. Einsteinium?
Einsteinium. Yeah, what's
Bohr? Is definitely a thing.
What's
I don't know. It's probably borium or some nonsense.
I mean, why not?
Don't talk to me about the end of the periodic table. They got real lazy there.
They did.
I like that.
Isn't there like an American one? Americanium or something?
Probably. There's like 100 and some. And now a Tom Lehrer song. I'll be.
But I don't actually know if that is a guess. That is not a like. Obviously, it's this.
It's not an obviously. It's this. But is it a? This might be it. Or is it like a? Yeah. I don't know.
I kind of like it actually.
I do like it. You know what? None of us know for sure, and so we're gonna go with they have an element named after them on the periodic table.
That is correct. Well done.
Yay, Tony. Okay.
What is the Bohr one?
It is borium, yes. Which is debated because people thought it was too close to boron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Einsteinium and curium. Element. There is one named after, technically named after Amerigo Vespucci, which is just bananas
really?
Because what did he do?
And of course, most relevant, berkelium and californium go bears.
Yes. All right. That is 4 points for team one. Team two, we're going to go to your side to start with. James.
A fine name.
I'll give you a hint. It's not James Thompson.
Okay, I know. It was like pandas.
Calculators.
But dice. I'm guessing it's spelled James.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Just, you know, asking.
No, that's a fair question. Valid.
Don't ask me any unfair questions. I will not answer them.
There's so many different...
It's true. I'm mean.
This is a bad... You're so mean, Dan.
Let's just say 10 is hard to do. 10 points is going to be hard on this.
10 points is very difficult.
I mean, 10 is a stab in the dark, but you
okay,
can get lucky.
Let's say names that can be both first and last.
Okay. Good guess. And then name... Yeah, that's a good way to think of it, actually. You're, that may be helpful to you. James, add Cassidy.
Team, any ideas?
What the first two that come to me are Sean Cassidy and Butch Cassidy.
Yeah, Wild West Outlaws would be mine.
Okay, that's a good. Yeah,
Jesse James, Butch Cassidy. Yeah,
yep. We'll go with that. Wild West Outlaws.
You are very, very close. You just need one more detail to James and Cassidy at Hickok, which is to say, yes, you are correct that they are all Wild West figures. But I need something more from you.
Butch wasn't his name. Jesse James, I don't think, had a nickname. I was going to go with, like, a nickname thing. You know, Wild Bill.
It's Wild Bill, yeah. Something like Wild
Famous
West
showdowns.
Outlaws that were killed in a duel at, what, do they do it at sunset, at noon? I don't know, in the OK Corral?
That would be an amazing.
That's right, high
answer.
Sunset.
They were, yeah, high sunset.
They weren't
all killed though in showdowns, I don't think.
Okay.
Because Wild Bill went and did a Wild West show and stuff after.
I think that's your wrong Bill there.
Oh, it might be.
That was Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo
Bill.
Okay, yeah. All right. But maybe they were all killed in shootouts. Or no
or like famous slingers.
Famous gunslingers. Oh. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's go with Wild West Outlaws who did famous duels.
Gunfights?
Gunfights, yeah.
Amos Duel's gunfights.
Jason,
yeah. let's discuss this one, because I think they were 90%
there. Yeah, they're so close. I don't think we can give them the full 4 points, but maybe 3 points is worth it?
I give them 3 points, yes. They're all Wild West figures who were shot to death, but neither Bill nor Jesse...
Were shot in the back?
Well, not all of them, but they were all killed in shootouts, or not shootouts, but like they were all shot.
They were all shot.
Because Jesse James was assassinated while Bill Hickok was shot in a card game, and Butch Cassidy was shot in Bolivia, famously.
Mm. Ow, it's very painful to be shot in Bolivia.
Well, yeah, I'd much rather get shot in Bolivia than in the back.
Could you be more specific?
I don't know where Bolivia is.
Nothing worse than getting shot in Bolivia. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just hurts, right. And then...
Three points to team two. We go
Hooray!
Back to team one. Shelley.
We have points.
The Hawaiian goddess of fertility.
Hawaiian goddess of fertility. Let's see. Golly, don't know her name offhand, so that's not going to help me. Any thoughts, team?
None thus far.
I also
don't know who the Hawaiian goddess
possibly
is.
Possibly somebody from a Pixar short, I think is my first guess.
Pixar short?
Yeah, I don't know.
My knowledge of Pixar shorts is negative 47?
Pixar, Pixar pants?
Yeah. I don't think Moana features the Hawaiian goddess of fertility.
Yeah, also I think Moana is not Pixar, right?
Oh, I thought Moana was Pixar. Maybe it's not.
Would it be? Yeah, could it be mythical figures represented in film, in animation, or in? I don't really have a guess that makes any.
What was the full clue again, Dan?
Hawaiian goddess of fertility.
I'm guessing we don't know the name of the Hawaiian goddess of fertility, because maybe it's people that have the same name and he's giving them to us in kind of cryptic form, but we don't know that name, so that's hard.
Yeah. My one thought is like, could it be, I'm trying to think, isn't Hera is the mom of the rest? Could it be like the mothers in mythology or something like that? If that makes sense.
Hera, Zeus's wife, mother of all the rest of them. Yeah. But
So maybe we don't know what the next category is, but if we're doing a guess.
I also, Micah, I have some really bad news for you about Zeus and monogamy. We don't have time for that now. Keep on believing.
I'd suggest taking
a
stab.
You sweet, naive child.
Get some more data points.
Take a stab, get more data.
Yeah, that sounds fun. So much violence today. I don't know. I sort of like the idea of mythical figures represented in... film or animation?
Or
what do y'all think?
Oh,
yeah, that
it's
works.
All right,
let's try that. Mythical figures represented in film or animation.
A very good guess. Not correct. To Hawaiian goddess of fertility, add Roman goddess of agriculture.
Agricola.
Demeter? Or wait, it's Demeter spring. Those Romans had a lot of gods.
And some goddesses which are lesser known, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm still not knowing what it is.
Right, and I don't.
I would be great at this if I was allowed to Google something.
I know, right?
Dan, have you thought about that? It would be way easier.
Yeah, that's my next game. It's called Conceivable.
Have you thought about a game show that's like maybe like just like a quick 8 minute microbyte, you know, quick bites?
Yeah, just ring in.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Roman goddess of agriculture. All right. Obviously, to me, no names. Does anybody have
the secret?
Were you serious, Tony? You said Demeter. I don't know that name, but is that a name that you know to be true?
I believe so. I believe Demeter is the mother of Persephone. I don't know if that
we
is
could.
The exact...
Well, we could go on that route. We could say.
Oh, are you saying is that the? I know that's not the. I am 79.7% certain that Demeter is not agriculture.
Okay.
But is, of course, a goddess.
Yeah, and it feels like it would be too easy to say god figures that are maternal because we've basically been given fertility in the first one, so probably not it.
Okay.
Take a crack. You got one left.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help. No, I'm not.
Thanks.
That's not true.
No, you're not. You're not helpful.
I'm very unhelpful.
If you want to help,
you're not fooling anybody.
I'll just give you the answer.
You can just go ahead.
Welcome
and do
to teaching, Dan.
You're not aware of any instances in which the goddess of agriculture has appeared somewhere that might give us a connection.
I bet she appears in a lot of things.
Probably.
She might even appear in Fantasia. I'm wondering if there. So I think we have a theme of maternal mythological people, but that's very broad.
Yeah, I think we should still guess that.
I think there's something about them, maybe like something befalls their children, like their children are, live in the underworld or something like that.
I think I would generally guess.
It's year round, Shelley.
Mythological figures who are mothers.
Well, this last one's going to really throw you for a loop then.
The
Hawaiian goddess of fertility and the Roman goddess of agriculture, add the Roman god of the underworld.
Oh, Tony.
Pluto. Yeah.
So again, that makes it broad enough that it's probably not what you said. So,
dang.
Two Romans there, huh?
Right. Two Romans and the Hawaiian god.
Who is it in Rome?
Caesar.
Pluto?
Pluto. No.
Across the Rubicon.
I know so few Roman god names. I hung out much more with the Greeks, not more than the Romans.
Pluto.
Goofy.
That was a planet. Could it be like stars? No, because Pluto's or celestial bodies. What if it's celestial bodies?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Could it even be the names of celestial bodies that are like, what is the name? Are they dwarf planets now? They're not planets.
Subplanets.
Maybe we keep it vague and then Dan will go, you have to be more specific.
Well, there's the whole thing. If Pluto is not a planet, if you believe the government, in order for Pluto either is not a planet or if Pluto's a planet, there's like 45 other things that get to be planets because they're similar in characteristic to Pluto. So
which
I wonder
you probably
if
don't need. I like the idea of celestial bodies for which mythological characters have been named, and that way we don't run down a rabbit hole where we might be wrong.
I like it too. Good strategy.
All right, celestial bodies for which mythological characters have been named.
Well, technically
all of them.
Technically, the other way around,
and also all
right.
of them. Could you be more specific?
Said it right the first time.
Get to work writing some myths to fill this
Dan
in.
Dan has yes. said it. Could you be more specific?
Ah. Okay.
No. So.
Okay. Well, then 0 points.
Maybe he does.
Planetoids beyond Neptune.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me a definition, and we'll talk points.
Okay. Mythological bodies for which. I am not going to curse. No, I'm not. Mythological
Sugar.
Characters named for celestial bodies that are. I don't know a lot of subplanets other than Pluto.
I think
stars would mess us up if we wanted to include Pluto. What is Pluto? It is not a planet.
It's a dwarf
it
planet. Which is not a kind of planet, which tells you that astronomers are bad at naming conventions.
True.
Because so, you know what a dwarf planet sure sounds like? Type of planet, but it's not.
Let's just, I guess, okay, we know that Pluto in the modern parlance is a dwarf planet. I don't know any other dwarf planets, but maybe they're dwarf planets. We know that it's celestial bodies. We've gotten there.
Yeah, it's the best I got. All right. So mythological figures who have been named for celestial bodies that are dwarf planets?
Yeah, I mean, all the way around, the dwarf planets are named for it, but yes.
Is it not Demeter?
I was parsing the other
Ceres. No, yeah, it's Ceres, because Demeter's Greek.
Yeah.
And the Hawaiian goddess of fertility is Haumea. Which is another one of the dwarf planets.
They're
all dwarf planets. You pulled out four points there. Well done.
Are they in our
solar
system?
Yeah, they sure are.
Yes.
Cool.
All right. That's good. 4 points there. Let's move to the other side. So
I hope they get something equally as hard.
Chip, this first one is for you. It is Lake Okanagan. I will spell that for you. Okanagan.
Lake Okanagan.
Yes.
If you spell it for me three more times, I may get fractionally
it
closer to the answer, but I doubt it.
It's okay. Anagan.
I'm racking my noggin, I tell you. Team, any ideas?
My initial thought is like something like lakes that were ruined after a volcano or something random. But
look at this lake.
Because
it's been ruined. Stupid volcano ruining stuff.
Mine was going to be lakes that have a potentially fictional creature that lives in them.
Ooh.
That's way better.
It's either that or it's got something to do with tourism.
Block of elders, yes.
Well, constellations are out, so I think we can kind of I think we could go from there. Is it a dwarf lake?
That's a pond.
I like the idea, if you believe the government. I like the idea of lakes with fictional creatures. Shall we try that one?
Yeah.
Wait, we don't know if they're fictional. Come on now.
Potentially. I said potentially fictional.
Lakes with potentially fictional creatures.
And that is our first 10 points of the day.
Well done.
Yep. They're called cryptids. Cryptids.
They're called cryptids. Yes. Mm.
I knew there was a Tony word totally and I couldn't knew this. Shake
can
it
name,
out.
Can you name the cryptid?
I know Tony knew this. This is why Tony didn't get it.
Yeah.
Can you name what lives there?
Yeah. Oh, you like cryptids? Name three. You didn't need Lake Champlain and, of course, Loch Ness.
Yeah. That one's way easier than the other nonsense we were given.
Yeah.
Come on. Our first one in the last round was James.
Yeah. James. Yeah.
All right. They got 10 points on the board to add to their existing points. So your work is cut out for your team one. Your first clue is first American vessel to circumnavigate the globe.
Alrighty.
Wait, was it that hot air balloon?
I have no idea.
I'll even go so far as to say it's a boat.
Okay.
It's a boat.
Wow. Yeah.
I have no idea. Boats are stupid.
Judgmental Tony.
Yeah.
So the answer is stupid things.
Things Tony thinks are stupid.
This is hard because we have to figure out what is the name of the first American boat to circumnavigate
the globe. Right, which isn't even the
answer. And then that is not actually the answer. That is a clue for the answer. Right. And we, like with the names of various deities, aren't doing great there.
If you get that ship name.
Oh, it's Titanic.
You could probably get the category.
Micah, I have real bad news for you about Titanic.
Really?
First American vessel to make halfway across the Atlantic Ocean.
Also, not an American vessel.
Ireland. Okay, cool. So, stupid things is our answer, right?
Cool.
No, wow. Tony, you get to answer.
We've gotten hostile early.
Oh, wait, is it actually my round?
Tony, this question was to you.
Snakes. Any suggestions?
That's mean. You know Dan doesn't like those.
True. Well, I didn't put one in his house.
Yet. That was very specific, allegedly. And I don't like that you had to say that.
And even though you could, but given your proximity.
Today.
that you know of.
Oh, gosh. I bet, I don't know, boats always have, like, names after, like, you know, like, ideas, like Enterprise. Like
SS Intrepid or something.
You know, yeah, Danger or Intrepid or Compassion or... Endeavor.
Oh, that's good.
I am great at... Can you believe that people don't pay me to name boats?
The captain of the USS Passion is really
exciting.
Maybe
that's a career path you should try for, Tom.
I'm going to guess... Here's my wild, bad guess. Names of space shuttles.
10 points!
Before you award the 10 points, what is the actual name of that boat?
Columbia.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yep.
You did not need first ship on Global Marine Expedition, which was Challenger, and you did not need Starship Captain by James Kirk, at which point I hope you would have figured this out.
Captain by James Cook. Right, both of those.
Yes, and several of these, James Cook actually, were connected with both Enterprise and Challenger, and like some of the other ones. Endeavor,
James,
Endeavor,
return
Endeavor
of James.
And Challenger.
Perhaps.
Yeah, we're
yeah.
back James to James.
Yes.
The return
yeah.
of James.
NASA loves reusing names.
See, sometimes
government.
You just feel, yeah. I was get Tony. You just started naming ships that were like all space shuttles. Yeah. And I was like, well, he's basically got this.
Good.
Well done. I'm pretty sure some of those were not the names of anything.
Fair point, but you were doing well. See, sometimes it's in there. Sometimes in your brain, you just got to unlock it. All right, let's finish off this round. Kathy, a male duck.
A drake. Oh, immediately I'm like, okay, so like musicians.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Thanks, Micah. Yeah, any ideas, team?
Let's see.
Your
team
other
has left.
Pop culture character
let's see how,
I can think of is Ludwig von Drake from Disney.
Right? Yeah. So what else I can randomly associate? We only got Drake. He didn't give us Kendrick, so we know that's out.
Well, I mean, technically, he just said male duck.
Yeah.
So it's going to have something to do with, you know, similar to previous rounds, where if you know the name of it, get closer.
Right. So, like, hip hop's the first place I go. Like, yeah.
I'm always.
I think I'm with you on that one. I mean, Wu-Tang is forever. I'm just, you know.
For the
anyway. Otherwise, I'm also recording artist. I is a fine guess at this point, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Recording artist.
I do love music.
That sounded like an alien thing to say.
Yes. I too love your music.
My favorite artist, saw recorders.
This I also is a love pleasant the sound. Bops, human. My favorite songs are music.
Are you from France?
To a male duck at a small Scottish farm.
What? Oh, where are you going to keep your male ducks?
How dare you?
This is the weirdest recipe I've ever read.
If you haven't figured this out yet, this is sort of like, imagine that you were playing Connections, but they really just gave you purple rounds and it was like just trying to hurt you all the time.
Yeah, inside Dan's mind here. Yep.
Okay. What is a small Scottish farm?
It's not Jeopardy, Kevin.
I don't know, about 35,000, 40,000 pounds.
Micah and I are on the same page. We're amusing each other.
You need me to call James for you? Or?
Yeah, please. Can we call a friend?
Is he your friend? Or is he your enemy is what I'm saying.
Considering that when it came up before it wasn't even his name, he might not want to talk to us right now.
It's true.
True. Yeah.
It's entirely true. He may not return that call.
Well, yeah. I don't blame him.
That's true. It is Dan's fault.
Anyone?
That exact phrase, like small Scottish, like I've seen it in crosswords, and I'm trying to think what the word is.
All right, Lizzie.
She is Scottish. She is Scottish. She would know.
Sing me a song of the last day.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Oh, sorry. I'm putting you in the mind of Scotland there.
Nice. Thank you, Jason.
Why don't you guys take the high road?
I said I would not be singing today.
And you did not. So
and that's why you have not.
A lot of Scotland in this round, Dan.
Well, they say write what you know.
I got nothing. See. I'm obsessing over this word that I do not know.
Okay. I'll blurt it out like after you make your guess, I'm sure it'll come to me.
That won't help.
Very helpful.
I know.
Well, there's still one clue after this, so maybe it will.
Yeah. We're going to go with... Okay, well... Disney characters.
It is not Disney characters. To a male duck in a small Scottish farm, add a strong desire for something, colloquially.
Oh.
Does the other side... Do you have to answer? Does the other side have this?
Know what that word is, probably. I don't have that.
Oh, Kathy, it's Croft. Croft. Like Steels and Crofts.
Okay.
Croft.
Good.
You did, wow, I'm amazed that you predicted exactly that you would remember that after that clue. That is incredible.
Okay, can we get the third clue again?
A strong desire for something, colloquially.
A Jonesing? Jones?
Jones. Drake Croft Jones doesn't give me anything.
Laura Croft.
I got it.
Maybe I don't have it.
Like video game main characters?
Video game explorers?
Work through this. Come on. You guys are almost there.
Coach.
Drake's, what's its name in the game? Lara Croft.
Indiana Jones. Not agriculture.
Famous farmers. Nope, sorry. Incorrect.
Was a couple of
famous Tomb Raiders.
Famous Lara Tomb Raiders.
Yeah. Not Tomb Raiders. Oh. What's the other A word?
Archaeologist.
Yes, thank you. Archaeologist.
Video game archaeologist, though?
Yeah. No. Famous archaeologist.
Just famous archaeologist.
Fictional archaeologist.
Fictional archaeologist, yes.
Okay.
Jason, are we doing four on that one?
I think so.
I like it.
All right, 4 points. Yes, words that are the same as the last name, official. I would call them treasure
Lara
hunters.
Croft is not
I would
a
consider
licensed,
them treasure hunters.
Yeah, okay.
She is a tomb raider.
Like Nathan Drake is also not an archaeologist.
Yeah, Lara Croft does not have an academic position at any accredited institution.
She's an adjunct.
No, she is not.
Why does she have that special membership card to the Archaeology Society?
All right,
we need to call out Jason's very, very good meme.
Yes.
In yes, the live stream
that,
chat.
He said that to me before before you guys had gotten there. And it was very solid. All right. That's 4 points for team two. That is the end of round one. Jason, where did the score stand?
Oh, it's going great, Dan. Thanks for asking.
Cool. All right, we'll move on.
Team one has 18 points, and right behind them, team two has 17 points.
Oh.
Although, all right. if you Hold add on, their team name, we would be tied.
All right.
Cool which facts. Team is which? I don't remember.
Micah, team one. Micah's team 18, Kathy's team 17.
There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. Also, I'd forgotten who we were.
Let us go to round two, the first of our fake-off rounds in which...
No, you fake-off.
Thank you. Someone had to say it. Team one must find the real answer. You may bid between 1 and 10 points based on your knowledge of the following category. If you get it right, you will get the number of points that you bid. If you get it wrong, you will lose that number of points. This round comes to us from listener Sally Jordan Peck, and the category is Australian children's shows.
Oh, God. Sally, what did you do?
I bet she is Australian or has Australian adjacent or knowledge.
Sounds like somebody who
don't...
was a child.
The Australian agenda.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
I mean, perhaps.
Yeah.
I hate bidding points.
And that's why we do it.
I hate not knowing things.
In any
You know
game,
what's almost as fun? Getting Tony to describe a TV show to you.
That's,
it's the one with the hate. Helicopter, and the helicopter also is talking.
Oh,
yeah. That is literally how my wife gets me to answer the name of TV shows, except then she makes up things based on what she thought the show was about, and I still have to figure it out.
Oh, you mean like, I think this one also has a talking car?
The one with the French ham? That is not how we talk about Muppet Babies in this house. Oh, man.
All right, give me a number between 1 and 10.
So, sorry, this category is the same for each team.
Well, now you're maybe spoiling things.
No, I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay. I mean,
in this particular week,
sure seems like that is
week,
known information.
Yes. Well, team 2 didn't know that. I guess they do now.
That's why I wanted to make sure that I wasn't missing something.
Yes. Okay. There are themed fake-off rounds this week.
You created confusion, Dan.
I did. I sowed confusion and delay.
And delay.
What? Yeah. Weird.
Team one, how many points do we want to bid? I hate bidding points. I will not make the decision.
Too bad you're the captain and have to make the decision.
No, you two will make the decision. Right. I will pass it along to Dan.
All right. You know Jason. What? Watch this. We'll just average whatever numbers we all say. 5.
3.
I was going to say 8 as someone who hates bidding points. So.
5 it is.
5 points.
Is. All right.
Democracy.
You're going to get a description of the show with the title that I give you, and you're going to get 3 of those. You have to figure out which one is real. Your word is parallax. Kelly, what is parallax about?
Parallax is an Australian children's show, which I point out again because when I give you this description. When it's about a kid named Ben and his mother disappears and he teams up with his long lost sister to save his mother and the multiverse from their mother's evil twin.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Wow. They know how to make them compelling down in Australia, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. That's one possibility. It could be some sort of multiverse shenanigans with a kid. Could be something else entirely. Chip. What is Parallax about?
Parallax is a story about, well, Starkey is a teenager in a dystopian future world that's menaced by the alien Jixon, and in moments of crisis, he uses his space-time manipulator to summon a parallel version of himself, adventurous but reckless, to help him save the day.
Okay. All right. So another sort of multiversal parallel universe thing happening there in the dystopian future. Wow. They don't pull punches in Australia. Could be one of those. Could be something else entirely. Kathy, what is Parallax about?
So there's an Australian family who moved to an isolated seaside village in Ireland to save the bed and breakfast run by their grandfather. The three children, Lulu, Bruce, and Frankie, are finding it really hard to fit into the hometown because they have to hide the secret that their parents are zombies.
Oh.
Lulu, who, and Frankie?
Lulu, Bruce, and Frankie.
Bruce, thank you.
Okay.
Bruce.
That's a real name.
He goes by James.
He goes by James.
So you got zombies, you got a dystopian future with a parallel self, and then you've got multiversal adventures. One of those is the description of the show, Parallax, but you need to figure out which one, Team One.
I'm trying to figure out which one of them sounds like it. Parallax fits with it, and yeah. I mean...
Starkey and Jixon just didn't ring true for me.
I don't know. Mainly, also, the third one just seemed like the most doable on like a reasonable budget.
That's true. But what do zombies have to do with Parallax?
That's
right,
where it falls apart.
Right. I also was basing my thoughts on performance. And I think Kelly was trying really hard to sound casual and uncertain, while Chip sounded like he was reading a Wikipedia entry and trying to do the same. So I feel like it's between those two, based solely on performance.
Okay. So, yeah, I wish the third one was real. But I think if that's Parallax, that's wild. Starkey and Jixon for me felt... like, I don't know, there was just too much. it was a really long one. I think that personally, I think Kelly's is the real one, but I am curious to hear.
Quick, can we ask follow up questions, or is that never actually works out?
Usually we can't ask follow up questions.
All right.
You must do with the information unless you're clarifying something.
Yeah, usually
we have given our testimony.
It's
damn
a hard
it.
Decision, because I think either of them, based on the description, could be. And including character names is always a hit or miss. It's either super specific to throw you off or super specific because that's true. Yeah. And it's an Australian show, and those are unusual names from an American point of view. But
that is true.
I feel like multiverse is also a very specific term versus, say, just alternate reality. That was in Kelly's description.
Oh, so you mean like that's too Marvel to be real?
Yeah, it's very Marvel.
It is very Marvel. It's not exclusively Marvel, but it's very Marvel.
Okay, okay. Could we hear... the Starkey and Jixon definition again, please.
Yeah. And Chip, can you read it in a funny voice?
Yeah, please.
Starkey is a teenager in a dystopian future world menaced by the alien Jixon. In moments of crisis, he uses his space-time manipulator to summon a parallel version of himself,
adventurous but reckless,
to help him save the day.
Please never do that again.
Wow, he was being Starkey there. That's wild. What a twist. Yeah.
I like the parallel version of himself for the show Parallax, but also I'm prepared for the show called Parallax to have nothing to do with the word Parallax.
I'm thinking it's Chip's is the real one.
If anything, Chip, lovely performance there. We should reward that
kind
of energy.
It's
right?
True. I like on second reading, he had to come up with an alternate performance and was done well. Although I don't know if rewarding his performance is going to help us.
Well, I mean, you got to play the meta game, Shelly.
How does that help us, though?
I mean,
if you're being a cold-blooded point grubber, as I am, I'm like, I don't know.
So, Shelly, do you feel? I think we three have decided that that Kathy's is a fake one.
I think it's either Chip or Kelly, and I'm leaning Kelly, honestly.
I lean Chip, but so I think Mike has got to be
all right. Mike, tell us what you think.
Well, here's the thing. I was originally leaning Kelly, but now I'm leaning Chip. Mm. So that's two chips.
All right.
Off the old block.
Indeed.
Sort of a...
Okay, so...
Is that where you're going with?
Yeah, that go is for it,
our,
if you want to.
That is our final answer.
All right, Chip, they think Parallax is a show about Starkey and Jixon and parallel dimensions. Is that true?
So, interestingly enough, the character Starkey and the alien Jixon and the space-time manipulator...
Is this some Doctor Who nonsense?
...come from the Australian spin-off series K-9.
It's true.
Oh, alas.
He gave us a real description for a thing that was not this.
Diabolical.
I thought clever. I could trust Chip.
So what I'm hearing is two chips don't make a right.
Now, to be fair...
So it was a very plausible
giving you the real description of a show that was not this would be a really, really rotten thing to do,
Who
wouldn't
would
it, Kathy?
Do such a thing? So weird. Especially because my show is also real, but it's called Drop Dead Weird. And it's
which
an
is a better
Irish,
title we
Australian,
can all agree for
yes,
a show about
for
zombies.
That kind of story. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. Got
so
it.
By process of elimination, that means the correct answer was
Kelly Gamont's.
Kelly Gamont's. So I'm afraid that means you folks on Team One have been docked 5 points.
Alas.
Oh, that's why I hate betting points.
That's why it's risky. Right? It's risky. You can always bet nothing, but then you, or you get, you can bet one, but then you lose one.
Yeah, we bet nothing. We just move on.
All right. We're moving on to round three. The round three is a game named Pet Names. I'm going to give you some punny clues to comic and cartoon animals. So, for example, if I gave you one half of Paddington's sandwich plus royalty, you would come up with the cartoon dog Marmaduke. Paddington likes Marmaduke.
Oh,
goodness. Marmaduke. Oh. Marmalade.
Marmalade, Marmaduke. There you go. Kelly, we're going to start with you.
All right.
Long-nosed fish plus meadow.
Okay. Long-nosed fish. Team?
My first thought was like a swordfish, but... what's the ones with the sail on the back?
A sailfish?
No.
I mean yes.
We're not great at names as a species.
But isn't there one that like is a big deep sea?
You're thinking of Dimetrodons.
Oh. Yes. I got it.
Oh, yeah? Yes.
What is it?
It's a Garfield.
Yes.
10
That's
points.
It. Garfield. Well done.
Oh, I get it now.
Good. It's your turn.
You got it just in time.
Woof.
Micah, your clue is not near.
Okay.
Plus, not the windward side.
Oh, okay. So that's far, probably. Not near would be far. And then not the windward side would be the leeward side. So Farley, is that an animal? Is that a cartoon animal?
You got it. 10 points.
Wait, who the heck is Farley?
I don't know.
Farley
don't
is the dog from For Better or For Worse.
For Better or For Worse.
Oh, okay.
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 Sure.
Now you've made me sad.
Those are like the boring grown-up comic strips in the newspaper that have way too much text.
Now they're relevant to you, though, because now you're a grown-up.
No, I'm still cool.
But you're in a tie, Tony.
Write a letter to the editor about why they can't cancel Spider-Man, Dan.
Reference acknowledged.
Yeah.
All right, Chip. We're around to you. Fine particles plus letter.
Fine particles plus
fine
letter?
Particles. Letter. Yeah.
Dusty? That's the first place I went. A fine particle would be dusty. Misty.
Dust.
Like dust and then letter. Like a single letter would be like a Y.
A letter. So, yeah. Dusty, misty.
But I don't know what.
Misty?
Well, a mist is a fine particle. It's just water and not lint or whatever.
They're all good particles.
The hard part is I don't know.
It's fine.
But I can't associate that with a cartoon animal.
Yeah, but I didn't know Farley either, so that doesn't.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I can't. Dusty and Misty are the first two that come to me, but I can't line those up with a character. Farley I could, but But I don't know. Dusty feels like a very good boy's name.
Yeah, I feel better about Dusty than Misty. I can't think of anything better than either of them.
All right. Works for us.
We'll try Dusty.
Dusty is not correct. You're very, very close. You just had the wrong fine particles. Anyone on Team 1 know it?
Sandy?
Is it Sandy Cheeks from SpongeBob?
Oh. I was thinking
Annie's
Sandy from Little Orphan Annie.
Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah, Annie's dog.
All right. Shelley, we're around to you. Uncultivated land plus sheer rock.
Cultivated land.
I think I know it.
Yeah.
Uncultivated land.
I haven't even parsed it yet, Tony, but go. Yeah, what
well,
you got?
Well, I got the back part, and then I think I filled it in. I think it is, so the back one is cliff, and I think Dan's being British again, so I think it's a Heathcliff.
Yeah. I like it. All right, Heathcliff.
10 points, Heathcliff, yes.
Good work.
And then, Kathy, we're around to you for...
I like these.
They're kind of fun. Yeah.
Window part plus one who wears a waistcoat? Question mark.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean,
part of a window pane,
like a
sill
frame. One who wears a waistcoat.
There's a question mark at the end of that. And I'll give you if you are a crossword enthusiast.
Oh, in other words, it's not really that. It's going to be annoying.
As opposed to every other one of these.
Again, perhaps you want these shorter podcasts where Dan just reads you a thing and you read it back to him and he rings a bell. We call it Feeling Smart with Dan Morin.
Everybody needs to feel good sometimes.
Okay. I my thought for the last part is like groom, because sometimes they wear waistcoats. Because I'm trying to think of something.
The question mark in a crossword usually means it's clever and like wink. Sorry, I know I'm helping the other team.
No, I'm
apologizing to my team, not to you.
Reaching across the aisle here.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Micah.
You're welcome.
Because I don't do crosswords.
Tony and I are looking at you sternly, Micah, but you know, don't worry about it.
I can't see it. Ha ha.
He's the captain. What are we going to do?
Right?
Okay, so...
You did this.
We did pick you, so...
So who wears, like, okay, groom.
Groom, a butler.
But I think, like, if you wear a waistcoat, it's a trick, like, clue.
That doesn't help me.
I'm trying to think it through, like,
yeah,
what it would be, again, if it were a crossword, what would it be?
Okay, so parts of a window, paint, and then with the cartoons, but I clearly don't know enough
paint,
about cartoons.
Frame.
Cartoon dog, like pets.
What's the exact category, Dan?
It's pet names. I said punny pet clues names to comic and cartoon animals.
Comic and cartoon animals. Okay.
Can't think of any other parts. Windows are complex things, and yet I can't move past paint. What else? Could
glass.
It be?
Frame.
Out of curiosity, sash. Team 1, anybody over there got it?
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, good.
We're just guessing window parts amongst
nothing
ourselves.
Worse than we are.
This is one of the trickiest.
Lost.
It's one of the trickiest.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, I heard you guys making some progress towards it, but we should probably get an answer here.
Okay. Silver.
That was like the best I could come up with, but I can't figure out where ver comes from.
I got nothing.
Okay. Silver. Hi-ho, silver away.
Wow. You know what? You are disturbingly close, and you're going to be really mad.
Oh, the best wow. The best kind of disturbingly
you're
close.
You're just missing the middle.
Oh, no. Oh, oh no.
We were going to be mad either way.
What's another word for a waistcoat?
Vest. Boo, Dan. Boo.
Jason, what do you think? Do they get any points for that?
You know, I mean, they did get... two-thirds
they got
of the syllables.
Yeah, they were almost all the way there.
And they did get the sill. That is true. They I don't know.
And the
Four.
I was generous. I would say I could see my
three?
Way clear to maybe two. But
let's say
like,
three. We'll
four. Right,
I'll meet you at three.
We like four.
A really nice three.
Can I get, like, vester? How is that?
A vest. Someone who wears a waistcoat is a vest-er. Somebody wears a waistcoat.
Yeah.
It's a pun. It's
Vester.
A joke.
That's a Vester.
Bad, Dan. Bad.
It's terrible.
It's a pretty common crossword trope.
I think my use of the word annoying has just been vindicated.
That's fine.
You were 100%.
Your criticism feeds me.
Dan?
Yes.
I think you're okay.
Thanks. Tony, it's your turn.
Oh, well, allow me to update my rankings.
Okay, Tell, you're going to love this one already. Your clue is letter plus letter.
Oh, you turkey bear. Are you kidding me?
Turkey bear.
Is it spelled the same way
at
the beginning?
I got it.
Yeah, Tony's got it. I had a feeling. I had a feeling you would get it.
I got it.
You did it? Yeah.
O-D.
Yes.
Yes, you did have it.
Wonderful.
You jerk.
Well done.
All right. Nice try, Daniel.
That is the end of round three. It was weird. Please never do it again. The end of round three. Before we get into round four here, Jason, it's probably time for a score update.
Sure. So that was a huge round for Micah and his team. They gained 30 points there. Kathy's team only gained 13. As a result, the scores are currently 43-30. The good news is there's a wagering round for Kathy's team, and I would strongly encourage them to bet a lot.
That's right. It is round four, our fake-off part two round, also from...
You fake-off.
Also from listener Sally Jordan Peck. This is Team 2's chance to bid for points on the following category between 1 and 10. Get it right, get the number of points. Get it wrong, lose that number of points. Team 2, your category is Australian children's shows, as you have now learned.
Weird.
Whoa, imagine that. The same.
Such a coincidence.
Would you like to bid some points?
Oh, yeah, we're going to bid 10,
yep,
right?
Saw that coming. Right. All right, well done. Yeah. 10 points on the board.
Dan, can I tell him the word?
Okay, yes. This word will be brought to you by scorekeeper Jason.
This is Jeopardy! No, really, the word is Jeopardy.
All right, Jeopardy. No, it's a show. What's it about?
No namespace collisions there.
Yeah. Micah, there's no exclamation point, Tony.
No, that's true.
Oh, well, there
that's
it is.
That's because they don't have punctuation in Australia yet.
It's upside down with exclamation points. Yeah. Micah, why don't we start with you?
Sounds good. Jeopardy is an educational series for children that features two puppets, Lady Roo the Kangaroo and her friend Willy Wombat, who are prone to hilarious hijinks. Each episode features a conflict and resolution that teaches children how to interact with their peers through empathy, compassion, and understanding.
So you think I need to watch this with my child. All right. That could be Jeopardy, could be a children's show with puppets, could be another show entirely. Shelley, what's Jeopardy about?
It's a 1953 film noir starring Barbara Stanwyck. No, sorry, wrong page.
That's single Jeopardy?
Jeopardy is a show starring eight Scottish teenagers and their teacher, and it's mostly composed of found footage, and they search the Australian bush for evidence of UFOs.
Okay, could be a show about Scottish teenagers looking for UFOs, could be that puppet show, could be an entirely different show. Tony, what is Jeopardy about?
Oh, well, of course, Jeopardy is an Australian game show where teams of tweens navigate challenges like obstacle courses, maze, and balancing beams to earn points and claim the legendary Golden Koala Cup.
Oh, okay. So it could be a competitive show. It could be a show about teenagers looking for aliens. It could be a show about puppets and kids learning lessons. But it's one of those. In Team 2, you need to figure out which one.
Man. So... While I don't know, Kathy, but it seems so far-fetched to think about an Australian show featuring Scottish teenagers. It's not like they go to Ireland or anything.
Right? Yeah, that would be so strange.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't sub in descriptions of other shows. That would be heinous.
who would do such a thing? That's so weird. Okay, so the UFOs... Shelley is talking about found footage.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like rough for a whole television show. It's like, I feel like that's a detail that would make it difficult to have like an actual show on it. But it is the one that like Jeopardy, like being scared or whatever of.
I'm leaning that one.
Yeah.
To vote for that one?
Yeah. I mean, the physical challenge game show with a koala cup, I'm like, would Australia be that on the nose? And if the answer is yes, they would, I'm going to be kind of cringy.
I'll have to adjust my assessment of Australia at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So shall we go with Shelley's?
I like UFOs in the Outback.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Yep. We'll go with Shelley's.
All right. Team 2 has come to a decisive and quick answer. They think that the correct plot of Jeopardy is Shelley's description. Shelley, is that correct?
It is. I'm looking to see if UFOs in the Outback was an alternate title.
Ooh, 10 nice. Points.
Or maybe it's the subtitle. Yes!
I think that's just a thing that happens in Portland sometimes.
It's just searching for UFOs.
UFOs in Outbacks was
in the Outbacks.
Where I was headed.
Sure. Yeah. Well, they honed right in there. I thought those bluffs were excellent, but they were not good enough to fool Team 2.
I do want to watch those other shows, though.
That may have upended the scores a little bit going into the final round, Jason.
Absolutely, Dan. It is a tight race now. Kathy's team roaring back. They've got 40. Micah's team at 43. So three-point margin going into our last three questions.
And for the record, I am no longer disappointed in Australia.
Wow. Okay. They'll be glad to hear that. Yeah. Round 5 is a game called Disney Minus. This is front end by listener N. Morell.
Oh, no.
We have taken Disney movies and removed one letter from the title. Figure out the new movie from the following synopsis. As an example, Incan monarch is transformed into a llama, interrupting his birthday plans to plant a forest.
The Emperor's New Grove.
Emperor's New Grove. That's how the game is played. Micah, we're going to start with you. A spaghetti-loving cocker spaniel leads a rebel fleet to the forest moon of Endor.
So this is Lady and the Tramp, and we need to figure out what it is instead.
Lady, I got it.
And, go ahead, Tony.
It's Lady in the Trap.
10 points. Well done. Excellent. Kelly, over to you.
Okay.
A young prince exchanges an electron and reclaims the throne from his tyrannical uncle.
The Ion King. Oh,
the
sorry.
Ion King. That's It's the Lion King. The Ion King. Yeah.
Well done. The Ion King.
I like that.
Deli,
Okay.
Five students and their inflatable robot stand up for attraction to more than one gender.
So the movie is Big Hero 6, I think, because that's the one that has the inflatable robot.
I don't think it would be just sex. No, that doesn't make sense.
It's, we have to subtract a letter from Big Hero 6.
Oh, my God.
Come on, guys.
Oh, yeah. It's by. It's by Hero 6.
There you go.
I was going to do something with arrows, and it was
so subtracting.
Well done. Well done. All right. Chip.
Yes.
A waistcoated white rabbit. White rabbit goes home, followed by a plague of parasitic insects.
This is good. Do you got it? Do you know, Chip?
Go for it.
Lice in Wonderland.
Lice in Wonderland. 10 points. Excellent, Tony. Round out your team with Basil of Baker Street is hired to locate Erato, Cleo, Calliope, and their siblings.
Let's see. So, okay, I got it. The movie is The Great Mouse Detective, but you've listed muses, so it's The Great Muse Detective.
10 points. Well done.
Very good.
And our final question for you, Kathy. A sleeping princess in a glass coffin is watched over by a squad of Klingon officers.
That's creepy.
Okay, this is funny, a wonderful though. Title. I kind of want to watch this
it's
show.
So good.
Snow White.
Yeah, go ahead.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. 10 points to round it out. Yes, that was a run on that last game. Good job, everybody.
That's hard. That's hard to write. Easier to do.
I did not. Listener and Morel wrote those. I may have done a little massaging here and there, but that was primarily a listener contribution. So thank you very much.
It's a great round.
We are at the end. Jason, could you give us the final scores?
Well, with that excellent 30 points on both sides in that round, unfortunately, the three-point deficit couldn't be caught up. And that means Micah wins. Micah and his team, of course. 73. Just Micah specifically wins 73 to 70.
Oh, Micah.
A close
Micah
game
gets
today.
To take the trophy home, I guess.
Yeah. I am the captain now.
You already were the captain.
Oh. A well-fought game today. Well done, everybody. Thank you to the panelists. Thanks, everybody out there for listening. Thank you especially to our listeners who send in questions. Mm-hmm. If you would like to send in questions and have them considered for use in the show, please email us at inconceivable@theincomparable.com. You can also find us on Mastodon at inconceivable@zeppelin.flights. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening, and we will see you next time.